Welcome to Being Mindful. My name is Lillian Larty, and I've just started, and already someone is shaking their head at me. But anyway, I'm Lillian Larty, and I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, the usual suspect, Pastor Digi. And we have a special co-host with us.
Yes, 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 yes. Drum roll.
And her name is Anita, but you will hear more from her in a while. So Being Mindful is a weekly broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with certain types of concerns in our Christian lives. So as always during the show, we would love to hear from you. So please do get in touch regarding today's topic, which I will share more about in a moment. And the easiest way to get in contact is using the PHBC radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. Alternatively, you can contact us via our social media platforms. So if you go to Twitter, Instagram or Facebook using the handle at PHBC London, then you can send us a message from there during the show. And as always, it will come directly to us in the studio. So we are back, ladies and gentlemen. And before we get started in today's topic, as usual, in our normal fashion, we will start with what is on our mind. But actually, before we do that, Pastor, have we got any international listeners?
We do. We've got two people listening in. Let me just look at the system right now. So at the moment, we got two people listening in Western Cape and somebody listening in France. Welcome to Being Mindful.
Welcome.
Western Cape in South Africa.
Oh, South
Forgive
Africa.
Forgive me, after saying that, yeah.
Welcome, South Africa.
And welcome, France.
Yes.
Of course, and a lot and few in the UK. You know,
yeah, those UK. Of us in the UK.
Yeah, but we don't count.
The Brits.
Yeah, we don't count.
Okay, so what's on our mind? First of all, I'm going to turn our attention to our new co-host, Anita. Anita, if you'd just like to share with the listeners who you are, just introduce yourself and, you know, why you're here.
Oh, my God.
Why she's here. This is going to be interesting.
You know what? Normally when people ask me to introduce myself, I just go by my name, Anita.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
So why are you here?
Why I'm here? I'm here to be part of the program and to encourage people.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. That's good enough.
And also, let me say this, the title of the program, Be Mindful, It is something I have been doing. I call it life lessons.
Mm.
Being mindful about ourselves. One thing I've come to realize about we Christians is the Bible is a manual. Mm. Yeah. In this manual, we've got everything there is to it that pertains to our life. Being careful about our surroundings, everything we do. But most of us tend to sleep.
Mm. What do you mean by that?
Most of us tend not to take it seriously. Manual. Mm-hmm. Most of us get the opportunity, but we tend to relent. We see everything to be normal, which is not. That is why the Bible is here, to prompt us.
Mm-hmm.
So in a nutshell, I just want to say that we shouldn't be sleeping.
Mm.
Because the Bible is our manual. Whatever we listen to, whatever Bible verse we listen to in the day or in the morning should carry us through. Wherever you go to, wherever you sit, just be mindful about your surroundings. Because John 10:10 says, the devil comes to steal, to kill and to destroy.
Mm-hmm.
That means we have to be mindful.
Mm.
The devil does not come in a special way. He dwells in human beings to do whatever he's in to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we just have to be mindful.
Mm.
And this is someone who said, I'm just going to say my name.
Yes.
Can you imagine if we said say more than your name? We'll be here till Saturday.
Yes, she'll be telling us the meaning of the name, where the name was given, Yeah. So that's Anita, listeners. Mm. Welcome, Anita, to the show.
Get ready for this ride.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here.
Good. Pastor DJ, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? You know, I had an absolutely wonderful meeting today. I met this chap who is a former monk.
Oh.
He's a Catholic, and we had coffee. We just met for coffee. I've never met him. First time in us meeting.
Mm-hmm.
We just met and we just talked, and we talked about life, and we talked about theology, and we talked about Christ.
Mm.
Even though he's a Catholic, this guy has a wonderful, wonderful Christology.
Mm.
His focus on Christ and what Christ has done for him, you know, and we talked about that. But as I said, he used to be a monk.
Mm.
And I said to him, a monk? What made you do that?
Mm-hmm.
And he just shared his story. For many years, he lived in India in this monastery. Just focused, and you know, learning the meaning of silent prayer, contemplative prayer, you know, prayer without the giddy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And those of you listening, if you don't speak in tongues, you know, Google giddy. I'm sure something will come up. GIDIGIDI or Wahala, as Nigerians put it. You know, without the faff, without the noise and the jingle jangle.
Mm.
And we just, I really felt like I'd met possibly, and I say this, I don't say this lightly, possibly a friend for life.
Mm.
We connected on that kind of level.
Mm.
And I love the way his approach to the philosophies of life and various things like that. We were talking about some guy who's a neuroscientist who's written a book and done some research on left brain, right brain.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about all sorts of things. And I was really, really excited. And that for me was one of the marks of this day, just meeting this chap. And he works for a university in central London.
Mm-hmm.
And just feeling, you know what, I look forward to this journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I was quite encouraged and inspired through that meeting, and so that's still bubbling, as it were, in the background. I've still got that on my mind, that wow, what a great guy. So that's me.
I find monks are quite interesting, aren't they? Because you get different types of monks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And after what I've found from those that I've listened to on podcasts, where they've spent a time in a monastery and then come out into the world to serve, their, like you say, their outlook on life, their philosophy on life is quite interesting, how they live out their belief into the world, is quite inspiring in some cases.
Yes. So, Anita, what's on your mind?
We've done Anita.
As Anita, that was her intro.
Yeah, that was the intro.
Oh, okay. She was talking about the Bible and everything. Yeah.
Sister was about to start preaching.
Oh, goodness.
So what's on your mind,
so
Anita?
You get a second take, Anita.
Yes, a second one, and I'm going to make it brief.
Oh, boy.
So what's on my mind? Honestly, this afternoon, about 4 o'clock thereabout, I got a bit cold.
Mm.
The reason being that I was caught off guard by Pastor Deji to be here today.
What?
So I was wondering what I'm going to talk about. Being that I have not been on air for some time now. I've been off air for about 2 months now.
Mm-hmm.
I do YouTube programs. I do programs on YouTube. So I've been off air for 2 months now. So coming in here without preparing, I was really cold. And I was asking, how am I going to go about this? But thank God, am I good?
Yes, you are.
Well, so far, so good.
Listeners, please, message in. Is Anita good?
Yes.
Please, message in.
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yes, let us know. What do you think?
Okay, yes, so Lillian, what's on your mind?
What's on my mind is, well, I'm liking Anita's colors.
Honestly.
What she's wearing. It's my color, autumn color.
Oh, wow.
Pumpkin type of color.
I
see. Golden yellow. Yes, I like it.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It's so interesting because as soon as I saw her, what was the first thing I said?
You said a beautiful color I've got on.
Yeah, it's a beautiful color. It's just it's bright.
Mm. Oh.
And listeners, you know, sadly it's radio. If you could see the studio right now,
it's
radiate. Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. No, but today is a good day. And yeah, it's really wonderful, Anita. So welcome. Welcome to Being Mindful Yourself.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you, listeners, for having me.
So should we...
I haven't said what's on my mind.
Oh, yes. What's on your mind?
So what's on my mind is... Well, the clocks have gone back. So the nights are drawing in earlier. It's getting darker quickly. And we're waking up in the dark as well. So I'm just mindful of, there's a, what shall I say? A disorder called seasonal affective disorder. Yeah, SAD for short. And it is SAD, you know, seasonal affective disorder. And it's quite, it's well known in terms of the winter months, but it also happens during the summer months as well, as we emerge out of winter into summer. And yeah, so for quite a few people, it can be debilitating.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, they have to put on the lights, draw the curtains, and they're like, oh, it's cold, and they just feel, you know, claustrophobic. Mm. So just being mindful of those around you who, you know, are not sort of functioning at 100% at this time. Mm. And I'm hearing conversations that I'm having with people saying, oh, you know, I really feel like going inwards. It's a time for hibernation. I feel like slowing down. And which naturally as humans, you know, if we look at nature, that's what nature is starting to do. It's starting to fall asleep, starting to, you know, turn inwards. So it's, you know, times like this that we've got to take extra care of ourselves.
Yes.
And yeah, if you know that you do suffer with SAD, then, you know, reach out and get the appropriate help, because there is help available. And, you know, you don't have to struggle through the cold winter months. And also, as we know, during these times from, you know, this time going through into January, February, you know, higher rates of suicide as well, and depression, anxiety is also on the increase. So if you know that that affects you or someone you know, make sure that you've got support and help at hand.
I think that's really important, because this, like you rightly said, this time of the year, it starts to, the numbers, this, you know, the propensity for this starts to increase.
Mm.
But I also want to say, it might not be something that affects you. It might be something that affects somebody, and this is for the listeners, it might be something that affects somebody you know, or you think, or you're not, even if you're not sure and you don't want to make the mistake of making assumptions, just ask people, how are you?
Mm.
Just, it makes all the difference. It makes a world of difference. How are you? How are you today?
Mm.
How are you feeling? Mm. And there's nothing wrong with asking. You cannot go wrong with asking, how are you? Mm. And I think it's important that we also, as much as we're able, you know, we're also our brother and sister's keeper, you know?
Yeah, it's so true. I can't remember, I was talking to someone, sorry guys, couple of days ago, and I was just telling that person to call someone to check on him or her, even at work.
Mm.
I've got this gentleman I have been trying to encourage every now and then when I go in, because he's sort of an isolated person. Mm. He hates to come closer to people, but that is not right.
Mm.
We are working with human beings, and should you fall down now, people will come to help you.
Mm.
So then you should also open up.
Mm.
Be nice. Asking nicely will not cause any harm to you.
Mm.
Asking gently will not create any problems for you.
Mm.
Just ask for help.
Mm.
Help is out there.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and often as sometimes we have too much pride to reach out and ask for help. And sometimes we think, oh, it's all right, I just pray, you know, and God will answer me. And sometimes God sends the help and you're still not accepting the help, you know.
Because he's not going to come from heaven.
No.
He's going to send somebody.
Yeah.
He sends humans to do his bidding, to do his work, to be his hands, his ears, his touch, his hug, you know.
Yeah.
So, and one thing,
go on.
And one thing I've come to realize again, let me go back to what I said earlier on. As Christians, we tend to forget about what we ask for. We should be in expectant any time.
Mm.
Once you've opened your mouth to ask for it, it will come. So be in expectant.
Mm-hmm.
So that when it comes, you not start drawing back and asking another one. People tend to ask questions mm-hmm. when the help comes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
We question the help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Forgetting we've asked for it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because we expect it to come in a certain way.
Yeah.
So if it comes in a different way, we're like, well, what's this? No, this is not, you know, what God would bring me or, you know, what I'm going to get involved with. Or
it's true. So true.
Okay. So that's what's been on our mind. So let us know what's on your mind, listeners. Again, you can contact us via the PHBC app or on our social media. We are going to go for a music interlude, as I like to call it. And Pastor Deji, what have we got lined up?
Well,
some of my
I've got something trance. I've got a surprise for everybody. And the surprise is that there's no surprise. The first track is a jazz track.
Jazz.
And this chap, this is a jazz track by somebody that I consider one of the most gifted Christian or gospel jazz ministers, artists, performers, whatever word you want to use out there, Tim Bowman. And this particular track is called Come Aside.
Thank you.
Hello and welcome back. Oh, why have we got an echo? Okay, the echo's gone. Welcome back, listeners, to Being Mindful. And that was, who was the artist again?
Tim Bowman. Come Aside.
Come Aside. So I hope you enjoyed that music interlude. And so for those of you who have just tuned in with us, welcome to Being Mindful. And as you know, we always explore issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians. And today's topic that we will be discussing is handling grief and loss. Before we delve into that, I just want to remind you ways to get in touch with us. You can message us via the PHBC radio app, or you can contact us via social media. Use the @PHBCLondon handle on Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, and let us know what your thoughts are around grief and loss. Have you experienced grief and loss, and in what particular ways have you experienced grief and loss? We would love to know. So let's get on with our discussion. So what do we think grief and loss is? I'll start with Pastor DJ first. We're being gentle with Anita today.
Wow.
Easing her in.
I mean, grief, loss. I want to talk about loss first. I want to just use that word. Sometimes when we talk about loss, we talk about, and in today's conversation, we're speaking about it in particular in very specific terms, from the perspective of bereavement and grief. Mm-hmm. But somebody might be listening and perhaps they haven't had close contact bereavement, they haven't had close contact loss, mm-hmm. you know, a close loved one, mom, dad, sibling, etc. But they've experienced loss in other ways. Mm-hmm. So even though it may not be something you're listening, may not be something you've specifically experienced, certainly I'm sure there'll be ways as we discuss and we go through that you'll be able to empathize and understand the impact of loss on this scale. Mm. So I just wanted to just touch on that first of all. When we talk about loss, because for some people, the most they've lost is, I don't know, a wallet, some money, a business deal.
Or a job.
So in terms of grief, what I mean, I've experienced close contact, you know, bereavement, as I call it, with the loss of my mother quite a few years ago. And obviously in the role that I do now, I do funerals, and my work at the hospital, I come alongside people in end of life care, come alongside the dying, effectively, you know, as it were, until they die, I'm there. And obviously my background in counseling and psychotherapy, I came across that as well. So for me, there are many facets to when we start talking about grief and loss and bereavement, there are many facets to it. I think that we experience it in different ways. I can think of a few people who've lost someone really close to them and did not shed one tear. Mm-hmm. But it messed them up. They didn't cry once, mm-hmm. you know, and so it comes out in different ways, mm-hmm. and we express it in different ways. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great great start and great explanation. Thank you, Pastor Digi. Anita, what's grief and loss? What does that mean for you?
Grief and loss.
And have you experienced grief and loss in your lifetime?
Yes, I have experienced one, which was recently, not quite, just about a year ago, mm-hmm. or a year now, I lost my grandma. Mm. I'm going to start with lost because I've lost her completely. Mm. The reason why I've lost her is she used to encourage me. Mm. I do remember back in the days, during school days, she would look at me and say, "You know what? You are very pretty. I can see a bright star ahead of you, and that star is you. Don't allow any man to play with your star." This was said in 1995 from my grandma. And till date, I still hold on to this. She taught me how to fight. Not physical fight, but fight for what I want.
Honestly,
bold.
As your pastor, when you said fight, I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No. You come with some boxing gloves. Yes.
but to go for what I want. No one should distract me. That is the things I'm talking about when it comes to lust.
Mm.
That I have lost from my grandma. Mm. Because she's not there. Mm-hmm. She's not there to tell me these things, to encourage me about these things.
Mm.
Grieving, yes, I grieved my grandma because she's no more.
Mm.
Wow. Mm. What about you, Lillian?
Yes, grief and loss. I mean, up until the time that my dad passed, which was 2016, I had experienced grief and loss in terms of one particular friend who passed away at a young age, at age 32, from cancer. Yeah, that was a kind of a weirdish one because although, you know, we were believing her for her healing and, you know, for her to break through that, and obviously she didn't. You know, it was coming to understand God's way of, okay, you know, our ways are not God's ways, etc. But yeah, feeling a sense of loss in terms of, yes, a friend has gone. Grief, yes, there was an element of grief. But also, you know, it says in the Bible, you know, of us not grieving in the way that the world grieves, which I'm sure we'll touch on later. But that type of grief to how I grieved for my dad was totally different, you know. When you feel that someone who is really, really close to you in terms of family that has gone, you feel like there's a void, you know, that emptiness inside. And that grieving period was like, yeah, painful for me, really, really painful. Emotionally painful, mentally painful. You can never be prepared for such a thing, you know. So I was quite surprised, that level of grief and finding ways to still work through that whilst you're working, getting on with everyday life and dealing with certain things and, you know, funerals, etc., etc. It was really painful.
And that's the thing. I mean, because life has to go on. The bills, you know, the electricity company isn't going to say, oh, sorry, your dad died. Oh, okay, we'll give life. Life goes on. You know, the fridge isn't going
to
fill itself.
You know, have to do it.
It's not, yes. That food isn't, that rice isn't going to boil itself.
No.
You know?
And you know what, Pastor? My dad passed away 3 days before my birthday.
Ooh.
So not only was I receiving, you know, condolences. And cards for my dad's passing. I was also receiving birthday cards and people didn't know what to say. You know, partly it was, I'm sorry for your loss, and partly it was,
happy birthday.
We acknowledge your birthday. Yeah, they didn't know what to say.
You can't even say happy. Yeah.
They didn't even know what to say. And it was a horrible time.
Yeah. Interestingly, I also know someone. I know someone whose husband died in November. And when it came to Christmas, she had said to everybody, please don't wish me Merry Christmas. Please don't do it. Please just don't say those words. Just don't say those words. You know, and it wasn't until the following Christmas that yes, you know, she was. But in that first year, it's like, just don't. I'm just going to sit with this pain right now. And that's the thing. We experience it in different ways. And we show it in different ways. Yeah. Some people feel anger. You know, how dare you leave me? How dare you die? Some people feel anger. God, why didn't you heal her? Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? And some people feel guilt because they felt angry. Sometimes there's extreme sadness and crying. Sometimes there's silence and not a single tear is shed. You know, we demonstrate it, we show it, we embody it in different ways.
Emotional balances.
Indeed, indeed. And for many people, it's just shock. And the surreal. You know, you think, you know, you'll, like, remember, I want you to think back to after your grandmother died, the first time you went back to the house, you know, walking in and thinking, oh, this is where she is, and going from is to was. When you talk about the person, speaking about them in the past tense, it's such a weird thing to say was. You know, I had a friend who died, and similarly, someone we were praying for, And I remember it took me so long to delete this person's number from my phone, you know, because it was almost like you're deleting their memory, deleting their legacy.
I still have got my grandmom's phone number here.
Have you? Wow. Even though there's a good chance somebody else is using that number right now.
I mean, we still got my dad's stuff still. Half of his stuff is still with us, you know, and that's, you know, 2016 till now. So, you know,
it's tricky. It's really difficult. It's how do you throw it away? And what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, when my mom's things were being gotten rid of, you know, and some of the things we knew had to go in the bin. We knew that no one's going to take these shoes. No one's going to take this handbag. It's too. But you know what we said to ourselves? No. Just give it to the charity shop. And we knew the charity shop's going to look at this and they're going to feel insulted. But we didn't have the heart to throw it away. Because what would that mean for us? What are we saying? And attaching her value to the things that she owned, as it were.
So listeners, you know, what's your thoughts on grief and loss? Have you grieved somebody who was close to you, you know, or even someone who was distant from you? And how did that, what effect was that on you? And how did you feel about that person going? You know, the loss, what was the impact on you and how you live life? Because when we do witness someone departing from this world, you know, does that encourage us to start to take life seriously? Do we, you know, try to live on that person's legacy through us? Because in some cases, you know, I mean, I've seen it with other people who want to live on that person's legacy and do all sorts of things, you know. Grief and loss can affect us in interesting ways. So listeners, please do get in contact with us via the usual ways, PHBC at BHBC London on social media or the PHBC radio app. Press the contact us button and send us a message.
I just want to say this before we go to piece of music. In psychology, psychiatry, psychotherapy, there is a there's a lady called Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross developed this thing called the stages of grief or the grief cycle. Stages of grief, the five stages of bereavement or grief. Yeah, and the first one is denial. Where, you know, rather like, and I'll use myself as an example, you know, heard the news, mum had died, phoned, you know, she was in Nigeria at the time. There's a lot of backing and forthing, lots of tears. Okay, we need to make arrangements. We need to find tickets. We found the tickets. We went, arrived at the airport. No problem. Somebody came to pick us up. No problems. I remember as we were driving through the gate of the house and as we parked up the car, came out of the car, I can still remember that I half expected my mom to come to the door, as she always would. You know, walking into her bedroom for the first time, you know, that sense of, oh, she's just here, you know. And it was, so the denial, this hasn't really happened. Your brain's still playing that, the phone will ring and you'll think it's their number. The temptation, like you were saying about you having your grandmother's number. The temptation to dial it and see what happens, you know. That's the denial stage. Then the second stage is anger. You know, the sort of, why would this happen? Absolutely. What did you just say?
Why should you take her away?
Yeah.
It is. And it's the anger. It's the anger stage. It's the frustration stage. It's the anxiety stage. What happens to me now? What's this? You know, And then after that, after the anger, we really emotionally dip into the bargaining stage of, okay, you know, maybe it was this. Maybe I should do better. Maybe I could have done better. I mean, you know, whose fault was this now? Who's is it my fault? Is it your fault? Is it their fault? Is it that the doctors didn't do enough? Is it about the medic? And we enter into this bargaining thing where we're struggling to find meaning. You know, what what does this death mean? Was this a pointless death? Was this a meaningful death? We're struggling to put this feeling into a particular place. Then we enter into the depression stage, which is where we get into this, where we realize, you know, almost a sense of there's nothing I can do now.
Sense of hopelessness.
A sense of, you know, I don't care about life.
I don't care.
I just don't care. I don't care, whatever. The world can go and dance. I don't care. And then the final stage is the place of acceptance.
Yeah.
Where we start saying, well, you know what? There's nothing I can do. There's nothing that could be done. You know, the world has to move on. What can I do? You know, and we start finding meaning again. We start finding life again. That's when we want to go back to work. That's when all of a sudden the rice starts to taste like rice. It doesn't taste like paper.
It's got salt in it.
You start going back to eating your favorite foods.
Exactly.
Because even during that time, your favorite foods were just like... But you know, you're going through that, the five stages of grief. We do that. We can do that with God as well.
Yes.
You know, the deny God, you know, denial, get the anger, you know, well, God, I prayed. Why did you not answer?
Yes.
You know, the bargaining. Well, God, you know, okay, if I do this and do that, will you bring the person back, resurrect the person, you know?
Yes.
And then
depression.
Depression.
And
yeah, I'm not talking to you, God.
Yeah.
I have nothing to say.
I'm not doing this.
Yeah. And thinking that when we withdraw ourselves from God and, you know, play depression, that God will just say, okay, you know.
Yes.
And then the acceptance we accept of that.
Saying, you know what, God? Okay. Okay, you're God. Yes. Okay. Okay.
We know you are God.
Yes. No. Stop showing off.
You know best.
Let's listen to some music, and I think, you know, it's a good place to a great song, I think, on the way that the conversation is. A fairly well-known piece of music. It's by Maverick City Music. This is a gospel outfit out in America. Oh. And the song is called God Will Work It Out.
Oh.
Wow.
Before I drew a breath, He was making ways for me. Now and every day, in each and every step, He is making ways for me. When my heart is full of doubt, feels like faith is running out, I've come too far to turn around. I know God will work it out. God will work it out. One thing I know, one thing I found. God will work it out. Pushing past the fear, fighting to believe, He is making ways for me. And He won't let me down, never ever leave. He's still making ways for me. And when my heart is full of doubt, it feels like faith is running out.
Will work. working right now. He's working right now. He's working right now. He's working right now. I know it, I know it. He's working right now. I believe his word. God is working now. God is working now. One thing I know, one thing I found. Oh, God is working.
Come on, just sing it one more time. Sing it out.
Okay, so that was Maverick and God is Working Now. And we were just discussing, certain things to do with grief and loss and, times when we've questioned God as well regarding our experiences of grief and loss of our loved ones. So, yes, do let us know what you have experienced. How was your relationship after you experienced grief and loss? Again, you've got 10 minutes to contact us via PHBC Radio app or at PHBC London. Social media, Twitter, Instagram or Facebook. Oh?
As we've received a comment from one of the listeners that it's not actually always easy to mourn and grieve a loved one, especially if you were close to that individual. That it's possible that loss, when that person goes, that it can absolutely tear us apart.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that helps to ground us is if we hold on to the word of God.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful comment.
Yes.
There. And I think that's a wonderful link into where we're going here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, gosh. Yes, the word does ground us. It does help us. But I remember when, soon after my dad had passed, I'm reading the Bible, but it's just blank. The words are not coming in. I'm not making sense of what I'm reading. My mind is just like, God, why? Based on the prophecies that my dad had received, what's happened?
Mm.
But when we look at examples of in the Bible of individuals who had suffered grief and loss as well,
mm-hmm.
that's where we can take comfort.
Yes.
And where Paul indicates, we don't grieve like the world grieves, and I never used to understand what that meant. All I knew was that, there's certain cultures, when they grieve, it's like, they're screaming and crying and everything's a drama, but those of us who have hope, knowing that, when our loved ones, we know that they're born again, they've received Jesus, we know that we're going to see them again one day in heaven. So we take comfort in that. But I just want us to touch on maybe one or two biblical examples of those who had loss. And for me, when I was preparing, who came to mind was David, especially the time when David lost his son. And just his reaction to that, the Bible says, he tore his clothes, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Put ashes on himself,
sackcloth.
And then soon after he got himself ready, washed up, and it was like business as usual, and I was like, wow, how can you transition that? I mean, is there a difference between the way men experience grief to the way women experience grief? Because I'm like, if that was me, no, I couldn't do that.
The thing is, though, theologically, and I do want to say this because a number of people have brought this up. And by the way, I just want to also say that comment that came in earlier on was from a listener in Ghana.
Welcome
Ghana, welcome France, welcome South Africa.
As I said,
the UK we don't matter so much. So welcome to the UK listeners as well. This isn't the time to switch off the radio. But you know, one of the things I always say theologically is when we read that scripture around what happened with David, it doesn't actually indicate how long that period was.
That's true.
And it's sometimes easy to look at it as if it was a week or a month. Don't forget, this dude was the king. And I do not believe that it was as short as it seems in the Bible, if you understand what I mean. I don't believe so. You know, sometimes when you read the creation account, when you read Genesis, and you read what happened in the Garden of Eden, and then later on you read what happened with Abraham, it looks like it happened, you know, the next 6 months later.
And it's not so.
Yeah. And so I just want us to be a little bit cautious about that, because the way that I saw that was David coming to a place where he said, you know, when we enter that place of acceptance, the place where we start to explore the final, you know, in the Kubler-Ross cycle of grief, the final stage of grief is acceptance, where we say, okay, you know what? I need to get up and pick up and move up. I need to move on now. I cannot stay where I am. And I think that text is speaking to the fact that he got to that place. We don't know how long, but I do want to talk about the difference in the genders when it concerns losing a child. What it means to a mother is not the same as what it means to a father. Women are naturally, intuitively, and correctly, I believe, more invested, or typically more invested. I think that, you know, for obvious biological, hormonal, physiological reasons. And so I think that, where it concerns losing a child, there are differences in how the genders respond. Yeah.
Good point. So Anita, any biblical individual that comes to mind to you?
I just laughed. Do you know why? There has been instances where I've been asking, when Jesus Christ was on the cross, what was God thinking? Even this afternoon, whilst I was cooking, I was just asking, so what was God thinking? Yeah, leaving your son to die, not an ordinary one, die by hanging.
Ooh, execution.
Yeah. And he said he's the father. What was he thinking? Why would you allow such thing to happen? But then, it was for our good. It was for a purpose. He was hung there for us to see. Had it been that he wasn't hanged, and we saw him in a coffin or a casket, who would believe it?
There was proof of his death, proof of his burial, proof of his resurrection. There needed to be proof. Absolutely, absolutely. And I really, really love that. I think that sometimes we're ashamed. I wouldn't say ashamed, that's too strong. Sometimes when we're going through challenge and difficulty, we don't tell anybody. We keep it quiet. When we're going through that pain and the depression and the sadness and the anxiety, low mood, we don't tell anybody. We say, you know, I'm praying that God will do. No. Tell God, tell people about your Good Friday so that they will rejoice on your Easter Sunday.
That's it.
Your Good Friday and your Middle Saturday.
That is what God did using Jesus Christ. The Good Friday and the Easter Sunday for us, for our benefits. So in this aspect, in the final stage of grief, just tell yourself, I have accepted it. Because the person is not coming back. The person is not Jesus Christ who's going to come back again. Accept it. And move on with your life. Some people will choose to leave the legacy of that person. But again, I have a question here. The person is an individual who had a purpose to fulfill.
Yeah.
What is your purpose?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, in the interlude, I was talking about my mother's death and how, you know, all the pain and anger and frustration I felt, particularly toward God, I realized later on, and much, much in some cases, initially I started to see, but it, way further down, because my mother's death was the catalyst, was the seed that was sown for the person that's before you today.
Mm.
You know, experiencing that death when I came back to the UK, a few months later, I was talking with a colleague who's, and I said, oh, what do you do? She said, I'm coordinator for the bereavement service. And I said, oh, really? She said, yes. And I run the counseling service at the hospice. And I said, hold on, exactly what is counseling? Explain this counseling thing to me. And then from that conversation, I said, that's sounds so wonderful. She says, yes, and we help a lot of people. And I say, you know, people need to be helped like this. Gosh, I wish this was around. This is so. And she said, you seemed like you. I said, yeah, more people need it. She said, would you care to come and be one of our volunteers?
Whoa.
From that conversation, would you care? Because I shared about my mother's and my own pain and my own difficulties. She said, come and be one of our volunteers. And it's amazing how when I started to serve others, I found meaning for my own pain.
Mm.
It was no longer about me, myself, and I. That focus went externally.
Yeah.
Mm. And you know, in the break, we're talking about Jesus himself. Mm-hmm. And when John the Baptist was beheaded, Matthew 15, I believe, or 14, one of those two. And John the Baptist had been killed by Herod. And the Bible says that Jesus went away and he took himself off far away into the mountains.
Mm.
And the people came to look for him. And because they came to look for him, they put a demand on him.
Mm.
And when they put a demand on him, he realized it can't be about me alone.
Mm.
And that's where we see the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, you know, as they call it, men, not including women and children. What I call the feeding of the 12,000. There's probably about 12,000 people there that day.
Mm.
You know, so we see that miracle because he took the focus off himself and yielded himself for use.
Yeah.
It was no longer about him,
no. You
know. And I think that that's really powerful. I think that's a powerful, going back to the comment that we had about, you know, leaning on God's word, I think in some regards, not necessarily the written word, because I think you're absolutely right, Lillian. In those situations, for me, people say, oh, you know, I hope you're praying. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not praying. Right now, me and Jesus, I'm not talking to him. I've blocked his number. Block Jesus's number. I'm not talking to him. I don't want to hear from him. I don't want, if I see an email from him, I'm deleting it. You know? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So listeners, you know, that's grief and loss. You know, it's not easy. I think we've covered quite a few bits of grief and loss today in today's show. Any last comments, Pastor?
I would say anybody that's experiencing this, number one, reach out.
Mm-hmm.
Don't carry this burden alone.
Mm.
Number, you see, I talk about Jesus. Jesus went and he took himself off somewhere. But there's a principle there that the Bible doesn't say, because the people knew where he was and they went to him.
Mm-hmm.
If he was in the secret place, nobody would have found him.
Mm-hmm.
So keep yourself accountable. Even if you're on your own, stay accountable. The enemy likes isolating people. And if you are on your own, he will come for you and he has the experience to take you out.
Mm.
So all of this, oh, it's just, I'm just going to go over there. Okay. All right. Okie dokie. You know, so number one, keep yourself accountable.
Mm.
Stay connected in some way or other and reach out. Tell people, let them know what you're going through.
Mm.
And you know what? Still, like the comment, still trust God.
Mm.
Even if you're telling God, I don't like you right now.
Yeah, exactly. I think he can Be real with him.
He can handle it.
Be real with him. And as Anita brought up about, you know, God witnessing Jesus on the cross, you know, God understands. So he understands the grief that we would go through. So don't think that you can't be honest with God. Final word from you, Anita.
My final words. We have been told about grief. God never said it won't happen.
Mm.
But he says he's going to be there.
Mm.
So we should look after him.
Mm. That's a very good point. Very good point. Okay, sadly, we've come to the end of the show. So thank you, listeners, for listening to us. We will be back next month with another topic. Again, if you've got any questions, please still send through any messages to us, we will be able to get back to them next time. And just to say, you've been listening to us on Being Mindful on PHBC Radio. My name is Lillian, and you've been with Pastor Deji and Sister Anita. And as always, as we say at the end of the show, thank you for listening. Remember to be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you all.